Just to tell you the story of God's work in our church from the beginning. And I've done this before occasionally, but yeah, just this morning in my prayer time, I just felt stirred in my heart. I was going to preach on another topic, but I just felt stirred in my heart that I need to talk about this and just talk about the story. And I was just thinking this morning, I was like, you know, I should probably do this at least once a year. I should probably just take a series of messages and just tell you the stories of how God brought forth our church. And here's why it's important to do it. And I want you to do this. I want to encourage you to do this in your own life and with your own family. Because how many of you know that God has a purpose for your life? Isn't that true? God has a plan and a calling on your life. And I'm going to tell you this. God has a calling on your family. It's not just you as an individual. There's a calling on my family. There's a calling on your family. And it's important to remember our story with the Lord, the things that God has, the passions that God has stirred up our hearts for, to believe God for and to engage in throughout our lives. It's important to remember those things that he stirs up and he keeps stirring them up. To remember our history, even in your families, it's important to remember. And I think it's important for church families to remember our story with the Lord, because it's like, because it reminds us of who we are in the Lord. But it also reminds us of where he's taking us. It's not just to remember our past. It's like we're not done yet. We're still alive. We remember who our past to remember who we are and where he's taking us, because God bursts things in our hearts. So, you know, I remember the first sermon I ever preached was inspired by the movie The Lion King. Seriously. I think I was in high school or just out of high school. I can't remember. It was right then. And I was a really new believer, and I was supposed to preach in my youth group. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to preach. And I love the book of Ephesians, because it just talks about our identity in Christ and who we are in him and who he is in us and the calling that God has for the church. And I didn't understand it that in depth, actually, back then. But I understood some of that, you know, and I liked it. There was a verse here and there that would stick out to me. I'm like, ooh, I like that, and it would grab my heart. And I remember I was you know, watching the movie The Lion King, and how many of you have seen that movie? Okay, it's coming out again, I think, this summer. I am totally going to it. I'm excited for it. It's so good. I saw it in London last year, live, like at this theater. Oh, it was so powerful. It was so good. Anyway, The Lion King. So you've got this lion cub who's Simba, right? And he is born to be a king. And this is his calling. But he's little. You got to, you know, he's immature. He's got some pride issues. He's got to work through and develop some humility and wisdom. But he's got a good heart overall. But then crisis happens, and he's destined to be the king. And crisis happens, and he ends up running for his life, and he runs to this foreign land. And while he's there, he's just trying to honestly forget who he is, because it's too painful to think about going back and taking the responsibility that he was born for. Because how many of you know our calling isn't just about us? Our calling is a responsibility. And you have a calling from the Lord, and you will be very blessed and rewarded by God for walking in that calling. But it's actually not only about you being blessed. It's about all the people that God wants to touch through your life. It's a responsibility. You know, that's why we talk about foster care. There's a responsibility I believe the church has to love these ones. Amen. And we walk in our calling. It's a blessing for us, but I'm telling you, it blesses others as well. And so this, you know, Simba, he's in his land, he's avoiding his responsibility, and then he has this vision type of experience where his father, who had passed away, his father appears to him in a vision, and his father is like the big line, right? He's like, remember who you are. I can't do the voice. Was that good? So powerful. And he has this vision, and he's like, wake up call. The time for running and trying to drown out your pain in just careless living and trying to forget your responsibility is over. The Father has appeared to you, and he's like, you have a calling. You have a responsibility. You were born for greatness. Quit running from it. Be a man and walk and do what you know you have to do. You have the ability to do it. And it's so powerful when the Father's looking at him and says, remember who you are. And all of a sudden, he takes hold of that. Simba does, and he's like, man, what am I doing? And he just, his courage is stirred up, and he goes to face the adversity again. Because how many of you know, as you're walking with Jesus and fulfilling your calling, adversity is on the path. You're going to hit it. If you haven't hit it yet, just wait, keep walking, you're going to hit it. And it's like, you're going to face trials of many kinds, Jesus said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus promised his disciples. And so Simba goes back and he faces the challenge, the adversity, and he overcomes and he takes his place as king. And when he does, the whole land begins to get healed. And the whole land begins to flourish again like it's actually designed to do. But because there was a dark lord reigning over that land, there was a curse on it. But when the rightful heirs came into their place, came into his place and began to rule, it began to flourish again like it was originally designed to do. It's so powerful. Now you know why I preach. I'm preaching it right now. You know, preach the Lion King. So, and I remember I was like, oh, this is so powerful. And I preached about living in our identity in Christ and remember who you are. But I want to encourage you, and that's what I want to just do for 20 minutes or so. I want to encourage you to do this in your family together. Like sit around the dinner table and saying, what's God's call in our family? What are the things that we're passionate about, that God's passionate about? What are the things that God's made us good at? And how can we bring glory to God through that? And actually have these conversations with your kids when they're little. Dude, what are you good at? Talk to your 8-year-old. What are you good at? What are you passionate about? If you could do anything with God, what would you do? And talk to them about that. And, you know, you just have these conversations and you pray together as a family. And there's some dominant themes that will come to the surface over and over again over the years. And what you do is you remember, this is who we are. This is who we're designed to be. And this is God's grace on us as a family, and this is our place in the kingdom of God and the way that we can be a blessing to others. Amen? And so, I'm just going to talk about a little bit about the story of James River Church and how we came into being. I'm not going to be able to share. I could take a lot of messages on this. We've been here 15 years now. But my goal is to be done by 12 today. So let me just read this scripture. Philippians, this is one of my favorite verses. Philippians 1:6, I thank my God every time I remember you. This is the Apostle Paul writing this to the church in Philippi that he started. And he's writing back to them and he's like, guys, I think about you and I just go into thanksgiving. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. I believe this is how God feels about James River Church, honestly. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I think the Lord could say that to us right now, and we could take that literally for James River Church. I think the Lord could look at us and says, James River Church, when I think of you, I'm filled with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And this is what I love. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. How many of you know we're not a finished work yet? Yeah, we are in process, right? And we're growing. And God has done wonderful things in our lives. But he's got lots of more wonderful things he wants to do in us and through us. We want to continue on the journey. But you know what I want in my life? I'm like, God, I don't want to have a fast start to my race. I don't want to be the guy, the team, that was winning like 48-20 at halftime and loses by the time the game is over. You guys with me? I want to keep the pedal to the metal and serving Jesus with passion and keeping my heart pure before the Lord and walking in love toward people and sharing the gospel and making disciples. I want to do this hard with every ounce of grace he gives me for the rest of my life, because I want to be going harder in the third and fourth quarter than I even was in the first quarter of my life. You guys with me? And I want to go hard after the Lord. I want to complete my race. And this is a promise that we have is not only for us as individuals, but as a church family. I believe that God says that what he started in us, the promise is, he says, I'm going to see you through. I'm going to complete it in you. All the way until the day when Jesus returns, I am going to complete what I started through you. And not only in us, I believe there's a story, not just for James River Church. You know, it's interesting. I believe there's a story and there's a calling on the Church of Huron, on the church in South Dakota and in our region, in our nation. I believe there's unique callings on in all of these different levels. Isn't that interesting how that works? Like, as individuals, we have a calling. But yet that calling is part of a larger corporate calling of your family. But then that calling fits into your church family, and that calling fits into the greater church family in the city and the region. You guys with me? And really, there's a calling on the global body of Christ from all the generations. There really is, to rule and reign with Jesus, but that's a bigger story. I'm not going into that. So I'm going to tell you stories now. You ready? 18 minutes. So in 2000, Pastor Dallas, how many of you know Pastor Dallas from River Center Church in Pierre? That's the church we came from. And Pastor Dallas is Autumn's older brother. And we were like best friends. And we were living in Missouri. He was going to seminary. We were in Bible college. And we were also on staff at the same church there in Missouri. And we were best friends. I mean, we would just get together and talk and pray and hang out. And we did ministry together. We were best friends. And they were family, which is extra bonus. And we were there. And in 2000, he goes on a missions trip to India. And while he's in India, God speaks to him super clearly that he is to move from Missouri to Pierre, South Dakota, and he's to plant a church there. But he saw a vision of the map of the United States, and he saw a fire in this vision. He saw a fire be ignited. It was like a map, and he saw a fire be ignited in Pierre. But then the fire just continued to spread out and burn, and it engulfed really the surrounding region, South Dakota and some of the surrounding area. And he said the fire, it started in Pierre, and I saw it first spread to the east, and then I saw it spreading to the west. And it really just, the interior regions of the United States, of the upper Midwest, is where he saw that fire. And he knew that God was calling him to start not just one church in Pierre, but a church planting movement, a church that would continue planting churches, and because that there would be a great awakening to God in the upper Midwest that would be coming. And so he talks to us about that. He gets back from India, and he's like, I just feel like God's calling me to do this. And as he talks about it, Autumn and I, our heart was gripped with the vision. I mean, we had passion for that vision, and we're like, we want to go with you. And we're like, yes, we'll go. And so we did. We moved up here to Pierre in 2001. We moved to Pierre, South Dakota. We started River Center Church there. And we had the goal of starting a second church within 4 years. That was our goal. Now, at the time, we didn't know who was going to start that church. I mean, because we don't even know who's going to be in our original church. I mean, we're starting it from scratch, basically. We had a few family members who were going to help start it, right, and be in it. But Pastor Dallas knew who would start the second church, but I didn't know. And it was me. I didn't know that. And I was kind of liking actually not being a lead pastor in that season. I was like, I like being just like on staff, because you know how many of you know when you see the geese fly, it's the one at the head that has to take the brunt of the wind. And I kind of like you taking the hits, and I'll just, you know, be hero support and encourage you and stand with you. And I like that. And I was really comfortable with that. And I loved it there. We were close to family. So we had family there. Our son was born there. We had a beautiful home in Pierre that we had just purchased, our first home. And we loved it, you know. And And then the Lord started speaking to me. I was a delivery driver for an office supply store. And as I'm driving around town on my, you know, delivering office products, I would just find myself daydreaming. Have you ever done Holy Spirit-inspired daydreaming? If you caught yourself, you're just like your mind starts wandering, and then all of a sudden it's like so exciting what you're thinking about, and later you're like, oh, that was the Lord speaking to me. Like he was talking to me and putting something, a vision in my heart. And that's what happened. There was a season, I was driving around my job, and it started like this. I'm like, you know, if I ever did lead a church, I'm like, and I could build it any way I wanted. I could start it from scratch, and I could build like my dream church. Like, well, how would I do it? And I just started like imagining my dream church. And I started imagining, I'm like, if I could build my dream church, I'm like, we would be a praying church. We would be devoted to prayer. We would be fervent and diligent in prayer. I'm like, if I could start a dream church, that's what we would do. We would pray like crazy. And in that place of prayer, we would be a people who regularly encounter the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. And we hear the voice of the Lord. And I'm like, I want, and we would see miracles and dreams and visions like they did in the book of Acts. I'm like, I want to see angels and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, I want to live the book of Acts. And so I started imagining, I'm like, I would want to build a church like that. And not only that, we would not only be a strong house of prayer, I'm like, we would be devoted to evangelism. Like, we wouldn't be one of these churches that just, like, talks about we need to pray more but doesn't do it, and talks about we need to share the gospel more that doesn't do it. I'm like, we would do it. Like, if I was building my church, we would do it. And we would be devoted to it. We would go and share the gospel all the time and lead people to Jesus. And then I would just daydream about what that would look like. And then I'm like, you know, also we would be a strong discipleship oriented church, where when people get saved, we have strong community and we would meet together regularly and we'd be intentional about character training, godly character training and character development, and just discipleship is another way to say that. And I'm like, we would do that really good. And then the other thing I would daydream about was church planting. I'm like, I wouldn't want to just plant one church. I'd want to plant a church that kept planting churches and churches so we can just reach, because the dream in my heart, I'm like, I want to lead 1 million people to Jesus before I die. And you're not going to understand, honestly, you're not going to understand the calling of James River Church fully until you understand that. That was put in my heart the first year or two after being saved. God just built this desire into me. I'm like, I want to lead 1 million people to Jesus before I die. I had no idea how I'm going to do it. I was like, how do you do that? And I was like, I don't know how to do it, but I want to do it. And I remember my pastor, I shared it one time with my pastor, and he came up to me. And I was young, you know, like this, I was this, you know, young, zealous guy. Now I'm an old, zealous guy. But I had big dreams. I still have big dreams. And I said that to my pastor, and he came up to me afterward, and he took me so seriously as a spiritual father in my life. And he didn't just pat me on the head and say, oh, I love your zeal, thinking, yeah, get real. You know what he did? He looked at me, and he's like, I bless you to lead 1 million people to Jesus before you die. I'm going to tell you, as a father or mother, your blessing matters. And when your kids or your spiritual children, those you're discipling, come to you and they're sharing God dreams, and when they're talking, you feel that the life of the Spirit on it. Don't put them down. You know, that's not the time when they're sharing that with you. That's not the time, okay, now let's be sober-minded and let's look at all the trials and the things you're going to have to prepare your heart for. That's a good conversation for a few weeks from now, maybe. But initially, what you need to do is say, you know what? I believe you've heard from the Lord, and I bless you to fulfill the dream that he's put in your heart. And then later, you can talk to them about the difficulties that will come as you pursue that dream. So I dreamed about my day church. I was a dream church. I was daydreaming, going around. And as I daydreamed about it, all of a sudden the desire arose in me. And I'm like, oh, I can't live and not try to build that. I mean, that sounds so fun. I have to try that. And then I was like, oh, man, because there was this thing going on in my life. I was enjoying not be a, I called it a point man. I liked not being the main leader. I liked being secondary. It was easier. And so I was like, man, I'd have to be the lead man if I did that. And I remember I talked to Pastor Dallas about it. I'm like, here's kind of the thing that's stirring up in my heart. What do you think? And he looks at me and he says, it's from the Lord. He goes, I knew, I've known for years that you were going to be the one who planted the first church out of here. And but he never told me that. He says, but I was just waiting until God told you so I could confirm it. But I've known for years it was going to be you. I was like, okay, wow, it's on. This is happening. So then at first I'm like, where are we going to plant the church? And at first I thought I'd do it in Denver. Oh yeah, because one of the other things that I was drawn to was I wanted a missions church. Like I wanted nations in my church. I wanted nationalities in my church. Lots of, I didn't want just white people. I love white people. I am a white person, just so you know. Okay, I really am. My kids will tell you I'm not good at rapping. But I do it anyway. I am good at dancing, though. But I just do it for my family. But I'm a white guy. But I'm like, I love the nations because I have this passion in my heart to see the completion of the Great Commission. Every nation, tribe, and tongue worshiping Jesus, having heard the gospel. And I'm like, I want to do that with my life. And so I'm like, I dream of a church that's a missions church that we're just sending out missionaries to unreached people groups to plant churches and multiply disciples of Jesus in these places. So that was one of the big things I daydreamed about. And so I'm like, gosh, you know, where can I do that? And I thought of Denver. And I'm like, man, I'll go to Denver. Because I'm thinking that's a big city. And they have a lot of especially Spanish-speaking population there. They have a lot of them. I'm like, that'd be awesome, man. And we could just, I'm like, we could just do 100 churches in Denver. And I had this whole vision mapped out. And I thought this would be really cool. I could go to Denver. But when I talked to my wife about it, and I shared with her vision for church planting, she'd be like, yes, that's the Lord. And she was right with me. Then I'd be like, what do you think about Denver? She'd be like, I love you. If you go, I'll follow you, you know, but I'm not really feeling Denver. I'm like, huh, okay. And I take that seriously because she really hears from the Lord. I'm like, well. And then I talk to Pastor Dallas and I'd be like, what do you think? And he'd be like, I'm with you on the church planting. I'm like, what do you think about Denver? He's like, well, if that's what you, I'd support you if you decided to do that. But he wasn't excited about it. I could tell. I'm like, interesting. Why are like these two key people in my life? They're excited about planting a church, but they're not excited about the Denver part. And then another key leader, Steve Wilson. Pastor Steve Wilson comes and he talks to me and he says, I think you're hearing the Lord about planting a church, but I think you're wrong about Denver. And I'm like, okay. And I took that serious because he's like a spiritual father that's really known me and spoken to my life. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm paying attention because these three key people. I'm like, so back to the drawing board, right? I'm praying, God, where do you want me to go? And I remember Pastor Dallas and I, we decided it was a Saturday and we said, you know what? Let's go on a drive to three cities in South Dakota and just see and just pray and see what God says. And so we decided we were in Pierre and we drove to Mitchell and then up through Huron to Aberdeen. And I remember we go to Mitchell first, and I liked Mitchell. Cabela's, yeah. Right? Cabela's, Quiznos, Taco Bell. I mean, it's even better now. There's like more restaurants there than there was then. So I like new construction. It looks pretty, you know. I'm like, yeah, I could see myself living in Mitchell. This would be cool. I liked it, you know. University, I love university students. I'm like, yes, this would be good. But then we come up through Huron, and I wasn't really thinking much of Huron. It was just kind of the city you go through on the way to Aberdeen. And I'd never been to Huron. It was my first time. And I remember we drive up, you know, from Walmart wasn't here back then, but we drove up from the south of town, Highway 37, and then all of a sudden we get to the gas station across the street from James Valley, and I'm like, there's nothing else. I'm like, oh, that must be Huron. Like, we're done. Like, we did that. So we stopped, and we're like, well, let's go back into town to a coffee shop, and because we got to see if this city is, anyway, I'm joking. We went to Coffee Tree, which is now Aroma, so we went there, and I remember talking to, there was a girl, she was like a university student that was working there, and what stood out to me is she had just kind of talked about some of the hard things that the city had gone through. Like at that was when Tatanka was crashing, imploding, university, and there's all that stuff. And then it was also that just before that, the pork plant, it was before I lived here, so I think it was a pork plant, had closed down and like hundreds of people had moved out of the city. So it was a great time for us to buy a home, to be honest with you, because there's all these empty homes. And But I could just tell, I'm like, huh, this city's taken some hard knocks. But what impressed me about this college girl, I could tell she loved her city. Like, she really loved her city. I'm like, that's interesting. Like, because honestly, there was nothing in the natural that was attractive about Huron at all to me. There was no Cabela's. I think there was a Quiznos back then, but even that closed, so that's not good. But I was impressed by that girl and the love she had for her city. And as I was driving on Highway 14 on my way to Aberdeen out of town, all of a sudden I had this quick mental picture that just popped up in my mind, just like a vision from the Lord. And I saw a sun beginning to crest over the horizon, like to rise. And then the Holy Spirit just spoke to me in my heart and he said, hope is on the horizon for Huron, South Dakota. Now that was, that. Listen, now, and so right, we got home. And I was like, huh, that I took note of that. And the reason I took note of that is because I had the prayer I had been praying had been like about where do I go? I'm like, God, I just show me where you're moving because I want to be a part of what you're doing. So show me where you're moving so I can go and be a part of it. And so that was my prayer. And then when he said, I'm up to something, hope is on the horizon in Huron, South Dakota. Even though I didn't see anything in the natural, it looked the opposite, right? But when the Lord spoke that to me, I said, huh, I'm paying attention. So I came back, I told my wife, strangely enough, she was actually excited about Huron. And I was excited about Huron. I'm like, this has to be God. Because I couldn't think of any reason in the natural why I would be drawn to Huron. I thought Ravine Lake was kind of pretty. But that was, so I was like, okay, wow. And so we got on the Chamber of Commerce and we would look up stuff about the city, the website. And like within a few weeks, we were looking at Chamber of Commerce. They got a new logo, and it's their same logo now, but and what was the picture on the logo? The sun rising over the horizon. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Hope is on the horizon for Huron, South Dakota. So anyway, God ends up confirming it in different ways. Pastor Dallas was super excited about it. Steve Wilson was super excited about it. My wife was excited about it. And somehow, by the Lord, I was even excited about it. And so one of the other things I liked about Denver was they have a professional baseball team there. They have a professional basketball team, a professional hockey team, and a professional football team. So I was like, this is going to be a great place to live. But he chose Huron. So I love Huron now. I really do love Huron. I really love Huron. And so we come here, and in 2005, we moved to Huron. Right now, I'm just figuring out how I can land this thing within 5 minutes. I made it. We just moved here. I told you I'd have to take a series of messages to do this every year. Yeah, see, some stuff, you don't even start those stories because there's no way that would end in 5 minutes. I'll just end by saying this. Maybe I'll continue this next week. I'll just end by saying this. Our calling is to be a house of prayer. This is one of the major graces that God has given us as a church family. I could keep you up for a long time telling you testimonies just of the answered prayers that we've had as a church in 15 years. We've had so many. It'd be more than a series. It'd be a long series. If I just told testimonies, and you guys know them. We're called to be a house of prayer. And when I first moved here in 2005, this is a good place. I'll end it here. This is a good way to end it. The Lord spoke to me like right away when I moved to Huron. Within the first month or two, I was in prayer. And while I was praying in my house, he says, I want you, speaking of your church, he says, I want aggressive prayer and aggressive evangelism. And what he meant by aggressive, he wasn't mean, I want you to shout loud and yell at people. That's not what he was talking about, okay? What he was talking was diligent, faithful, fervent. That's what he meant. It was the opposite of passivity is what he was talking about. He was like, I have given you, this is what he was saying. Joshua and Caleb is what he talked to me about at that time. He says, I've given you the land. I've given you the city. I'm giving you the city. And he says, I want you to go out there and take it. He's like, don't sit back passively like I'm waiting for God to move. He's like, pray and go share the gospel and I will work with you. I will move. He's like aggressive in prayer, aggressive in evangelism. You could say fervent in prayer, fervent in evangelism. And like, and I would honestly say like there's more grace than that that's on us. There's a lot more. I'll probably get into it next week. Maybe I'll have my wife help me tell stories next. She's a better storyteller than me, honestly. And so so much of it, you know, yeah, she would tell it way better than I would. But I believe there's a calling on our church to play a role to help bring forth a million soul harvest in our five-state region. There is a grace on our church that to have a statewide influence. We already have that. But even a regional influence. And there's many more believers, many more awesome churches that God's using. And they'll be spearheading things that we'll be getting in with. And it's a big team. You guys with me? But we want to take and do our part. And I believe there is a grace, a leadership calling on our church to be a blessing in the region to the body of Christ. And we are going to see a million soul harvest. And I want to tell you something about the million soul harvest. It's not just a million conversions. It's a million people who love Jesus passionately, walk in purity, and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've never shared this story with you before. I'll end on this. Probably 2008, 2009, I can't remember what year. We were getting ready for a church service. Back then, I was like the only worship leader at the church. And so I did everything almost in the service. And we were doing a sound check before service. And it was just like me there and maybe one or two other people. And I was singing the song, just like doing a sound check. So I'm not even, I was singing that. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I was singing that, just doing a sound check. But while I did, the Holy Spirit just starts touching me so deeply. And he reminded me, before I was saved, I used to sing. I'm like 12 years older than one of my sisters, 14 years older than another sister, and 18 years older than my youngest brother. And so I would, you know, babysit them and take care of them. And oftentimes, I wasn't even saved back then, but you know, my little sister would be crying in the car in her car seat, and I'd be in the back, and I loved her so much. And I would just, that's the song I would sing to her. Even though I wasn't saved, I just liked that song. I always liked it. I didn't even love Jesus back then, but I liked singing that song to him. And so that morning when I'm doing the sound check and I'm singing that song, the Lord speaks to me, and he says, all of a sudden that memory came back of when I used to sing that song and I liked it before I was saved. And he's like, do you know why you like that song? He's like, I put that song in your heart, even though it wasn't true yet in you. He goes, but I put it in your heart back then because I knew my calling on your life. And the thing I love most about you is the way you love me and is your worship. So God says something like that to you and you're ruined. And I'm just like undone that morning doing a sound check. I'm like, oh my goodness. And he just keeps talking to me. He's like, Jeff, I love your pure heart. I love the way you love me. I love the way you worship me. And I was just like, ah, who is like you? Who is like you? And then he just goes crazy on me and says this thing. Out of the blue, wasn't even in my mind. All of a sudden he says, hey, he goes, do you know why I've given you such a large calling and called you to be an apostle over the region? And before I could answer the question, he says, because I want to take your pure heart of worship and multiply it times a million. And of course, back then, you know, we're still a small church. But back then, you know, we were even smaller. And, you know, but I had the big dream. I want to lead 1 million people to Jesus. And he spoke that to my heart. And I don't know if I've ever shared that publicly. I've shared that with my wife and maybe a few people. Because it was just so personal. And but here's what, it means a lot of things to me, but here's the thing I want to emphasize about it. He's not just looking for 1 million converts to attend a crusade, sign a card, and live the way they've always lived. He's looking to raise up 1 million believers who love him with that pure heart of worship. He's raising up a mature bride for his son. That's what he's doing in the earth, and that's what he wants to do in our region. And I believe we are on the threshold of a great awakening in our region, and it's going to bring in 1 million soul harvest who will have that pure heart of worship that he loves so much. And God has called us as a church family to get to be that, but even to be part of bringing that forth. Isn't that awesome? And you have been part of bringing that forth through 13 years of diligent prayer, intercession, fasting. Why don't you go ahead and stand with me? And we'll just pray with that. Just pray this prayer with me. Just say, let he who began a good work in me, let him carry it on to completion. Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. What you start, you finish. I consecrate myself to you. Have your way in me. Cultivate a heart of worship in me. That I would love you with all my heart. Let's just end. I just want to sing this song. Sing, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Holy Spirit, give us grace as a church family to complete the race you've marked out for us and to have a pure heart of worship that you love so much. And let this be the main thing that you multiply through us and impart to others through us, that heart of worship of absolute surrender and devotion to Jesus. We love you and we bless you, Abba. Amen. All right. I love you guys. Thank you all for coming and have a good week.